Eskom CEO André de Ruyter has presented a report to the Eskom board which essentially dismisses serious allegations levelled at Eskom COO Jan Oberholzer. He's alleged to have been conflicted with talk of him being corrupt, using his position of authority at Eskom involved in nepotism and victimisation. It's been alleged, for example, that he had corrupt dealings with construction player Avenge, but a recent High Court decision this month seems to indicate that there was no funny business between Oberholzer and the construction firm. Well, to tell us more about this story and the implications, I'm joined on the line by Sikonathi Mantshantsha. He's Eskom spokesperson, as well as Chris Yelland. He's the managing director at EE Business Intelligence. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us. Sikonathi, let me start with you. So just give us a background into the allegations that were being looked at this time around in terms of the internal Eskom investigation, and ultimately why Mr. Oberholzer was found not guilty.
Good evening, Nompumelelo and the listener. The first point I wish to put on the record is that the report you have just referred to by André Oberholzer was an internal document meant for the board. So I may not necessarily be at liberty to discuss its contents. Let's go back to André de Ruyter.
Yes.
He was accused by some people, by an employee of Eskom, of having had a conflict of interest in dealing with a company called Stefanuti Stocks, in which Jan Oberholzer had worked before and was remunerated with shares, amongst others. And he was also accused of favoring Avenge by the same employee, accused of favoring Avenge when Jan Oberholzer said, indeed, we must pay after obtaining legal opinion on a dispute Eskom had with the contractor for the payment of 40 million rands. This was lodged as a grievance against Mr. Oberholzer, which, as you now have stated, the High Court found that indeed Eskom was indebted to Avenge. It was supposed to pay. It has now been ordered. Eskom has been ordered to pay the 40 million rand to Avenge, plus the legal costs of two counsel, plus interest, a matter that could have been avoided had the payment been effected last year, as Jan Oberholzer had indicated, after obtaining legal opinion.
Yeah. So one of the things that came out of an article that Chris Yelland wrote was that the CEO, that is Mr. de Ruyter, has said that there seems to be a tendency for people who are, you know, weak performers, perhaps they're not doing so well at Eskom, to become, you know, whistleblowers and then speak against people for convenience rather than the fact that there's genuinely something wrong. Is that a conclusion that you can speak about, given the fact that the CEO was said to have said this on record?
Nampumelelo, let's repeat this again. The document to which Chris Yelland obtained is an internal board document, so I will not speak to the specifics there. But I can tell you generally that at Eskom, not all is what seems to be. Particularly where people have been accused of non-performance, they tend to convert themselves into whistleblowers and fighters against corruption. And there are many other issues. So that indeed is a prevalent occasion. I have personal experience of that, both in my days as a journalist and now as an insider at Eskom.
Mm. Okay, Chris, let me come to you. You've been covering Eskom extensively, you know, around varied issues. Now, you wrote a story specifically around Mr. Oberholzer, and basically, you know, Eskom, it's an internal investigation. I did see somebody say on Twitter, well, it's an internal investigation. Obviously, he would be found to have not done any wrongdoing. Just give us your thoughts and impressions around what's come out of this. You indicate in your article that this is the third time that Eskom has done an internal investigation on Mr. Oberholzer.
Not quite. The other investigations were done by external parties.
Right.
So a combination of internal and external investigations have all come to the same conclusion. Let's now just look at the big picture about what is happening. there's a lot of noise and allegations against the new management at Eskom who are trying to clean the place up. And the more they try and clean it up, the more this noise coming from very murky sources, social media disinformation, tries to paint the new management as corrupt. This is a diversionary tactic to try and divert attention away from a whole ecosystem that is feeding corruptly off Eskom.
Yeah.
There are contracts there over the last 10 years. For example, this is just one example, coal transportation contract by truck never went out to tender. And these contracts were placed with family members, with relatives, with friends, with even with politicians, at highly inflated prices. And an entire ecosystem has developed feeding off Eskom. And these forces are determined to protect their revenue streams. And to do so, they try and paint as corrupt the people who are trying to clean things up.
Yeah,
it's been going on for a long time, and it's certainly going to continue as efforts are taken to clean up the mess.
Mm. Sikonati, working with you as a fellow journalist in the trenches when you were covering Eskom, you know, you were able to just say whatever. Now you're in a corporate robe, it's a bit more difficult. But one of the things I want to ask you is, given what you told us earlier about how it is difficult at Eskom right now and things are not always what they seem, is it difficult to change things at Eskom? Is it difficult to execute on the mandate to clean up Eskom and turn it around?
Nompu, I will answer that very quickly. If you allow me, however, to just close off on the point of investigations into Jan Oberholzer.
Yeah.
I'll give you specifics. When the grievance was laid against Mr. Oberholzer, Eskom went and got advocate Mkawane from outside of Eskom to conduct an investigation. He arrived at the conclusion that these allegations of corruption and conflict of interest were baseless. Advocate Kasim arrived at a similar conclusion when he was asked again by Eskom to investigate this year. Mm. He came to the same conclusion, baseless. Now the High Court itself has vindicated Jan Oberholzer's stance on the matter. So at some point, people have to move on and allow Eskom to do what it needs to do. Jan Oberholzer, there has been no evidence of his corruption anywhere. Three different external investigations, plus this report now that you have referred to.
Yeah.
Now, back to your question. It is absolutely difficult for honest people to carry on and do the work of cleaning up Eskom. Precisely because of what Chris Yelland has said, there are just too many vested interests. There are many people who would not want the place to be fixed, to be repaired, because it is in their interest for it to continue being corrupt. Exactly those facts that Chris Yelland has just mentioned, they are making it very difficult for current management to carry on and do its job of cleaning up the company. However, things are changing, and I'm quite pleased to say that I am part of being part of this organization. I am proud of being in this organization at this point. We are doing, as the management team now, everything that can be done in the face of huge resistance, even from staff itself. Some members of staff.
Chris, just to round off, do you think that trying to run and manage Eskom in this current situation is a bit of a poison chalice?
Well, it's a very toxic environment, Nompu. I just want to give a little example here of Majuba Power Station. We're supposed to have a rail link to supply 100% of coal to Majuba. This would have brought down the price of coal very, very significantly. Today, 14 years after this coal project, rail project started, a 65-kilometer piece of railway line,
yeah,
100% of all the coal to Majuba is by road. And these vested interests are determined to make sure that the rail link never works, because it interferes with their revenue streams that feed off the road transportation of coal at huge cost to the consumer, at huge cost to municipalities and road damages to roads. It's in nobody's interest except the people who transport the coal. And today, a coal conveyor was burnt down and not a single ounce of coal comes in by rail, even 14 years after this project started. That is what we're up against.
Yeah, very difficult indeed. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the show. That was Sikonathi Mantshantsha. He's the Eskom spokesperson, and Chris Yelland, he's Managing Director at EE Business Intelligence.